All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom system's going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam. Hysterical comedian Felipe Esparza is going to come back in studio and make with the mirth. Also, we got the news coming up. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
People of Earth, it's time for another installment of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month, we got things that will take care of your body, soul, and scrotum. Like a sample pack of Tame the Beast Nut Butter, a blend with Tuck Everlasting anti-aging and anti-chafing ingredients that will keep your sack high and tight. We've also got the great Dano's Seasoning, who will make each and every kind of meat taste even better, whether it's beef, pork, or your fellow man. Dano's is low sodium and no sugar, so even Vinny will approve. We've also got nude mints to not only freshen your breath, but your gut biome too. These incredible products and a bottle of your choice can be found at CorollaDrinks.com for only $25. So prep your mailbox. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut has arrived. Adam Carolla's sixth book and audiobook. Everything reminds me of something. Advice, answers, but no apologies. Should aliens make contact with Earth, who do we send on humanity's behalf? Chad, 32, Ohio.
Obviously, Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, jumps to mind. He'd send a message. The aliens would inevitably ask him why he'd been chosen, and he'd say, I'm the lightest. I have the smallest upper body of all the humans, and they know I'm docile and wouldn't scare you. And we could pair him with Joy Behar in case they were thinking about mating with us. So we could nip that one in the bud, too.
Everything reminds me of something. Available now, wherever finer books are sold.
Felipe Esparza back in studio.
What's up, everyone? What's up?
Good to see you, my friend.
Good to
Felipe's
be back.
Got really funny stand-up specials. They're not going to laugh at you. Showtime one. Translate this. Which one did you shoot at the Improv?
In San Jose, Translate. That was Translate This.
Yeah, that was a really funny one. HBO, Bad Decisions, Netflix. Good to see you again, my
friend. Yeah, and I have another one, too, right now. Bad Decisions on Netflix. It's in Spanish and English.
Oh, how do you do that?
I shot them both in 2 days, one in English, and then the next day I came back and I shot it in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
And it seems like a good but difficult idea. It seems like there's certain phrasing and things.
Yes. A lot of like double entendres don't work in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And some words that I was using, they only work in California.
Uh-huh.
Like some of the words that we use everyday life, like brakes, I thought it was always brecas, but it's not, it's frenos.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff that the West Coast Spanish is a mixture of English and Spanish, and that's not real Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to change those words. As soon as I got to Mexico and started doing shows in Tijuana, Mexico, that's when I first noticed that some of the words are not working here.
Where do you work in Tijuana?
The Hong Kong Theater. No, I worked at at a little cafe that my friend Joel runs every Wednesday, and they have a comedy night.
Mm.
It's all Spanish.
Get out there and hit an open mic on Wednesday. Do they have, is it on Revolution Street?
No. Man, but It's totally Tijuana, man, because like some of the stuff in that cafe where I was at wouldn't fly at. Well, actually, they'll fly in some places, maybe in the east side, like Montebello. But the sink wasn't working. So the they sink. Had a to wash your hands, it wasn't working in a men's restroom. So all they did was put a bucket of warm water. So everybody could just dip their hands. Dunk.
That didn't affect their rating on the window?
No.
Oh.
There's no rating.
Rover wasn't buzzing around there with the Sky Team, too.
That was weird. Green room was on top of the kitchen, so it was hot.
Oh, you're right above the kitchen. Yeah, many a fond memory of Tijuana from my youth and beyond. Plenty of good strip clubs there, Margarita's Village, Unicorn, all on Revolution there. There's did we ever talk about Margarita's Village?
No.
Okay, well, a couple things. You're tall for Tijuana.
Yes.
Tijuana doesn't have building codes. So when you go downstairs, and Revolution is the main drag, but kind of like New York, there's
everything
a lot of
subterranean.
The clubs are down below. Right. You walk down there, you're walking down the stairs, you'll hit your head if you're above 6 foot. Like they don't have, you forget. I'll just give you an example. Treads and risers, a staircase. In America, they're all the same. And your foot has memorized the height. You don't look down when you're walking upstairs in the U.S. All you have to do is put one an inch higher in the middle and you'll trip on it. That's what Tijuana is. I have no idea. You're walking down the sidewalk. You step over the curb into a hole. Look, you gotta keep your head on a swivel over there.
And like once you leave, he's right about Revolution. It's like real nice, like Las Vegas or Hong Kong. You know, it's very bright and lit up. But once that ends, it goes back to dirt road and
fast
and people selling cats. You know, and tacos.
Is it Revolution more for like whitey tourist who wants to taste?
It's for everybody that wants to make their dollar grow.
Right.
You could be Tom Cruise in there with $500.
Yeah. The girls still selling chiclets?
Yes, right outside, man. But there's like, what I found out from a guy that lives in Tijuana, he said that the Revolution is still strong. You know, like the whorehouses and the strip bars still run the same.
Good.
But in the alley, you could still, like, if you're too cheap to go inside the strip bars and flirt with a stripper, there's cheaper stuff than that outside. And they're like this alley. And my friend calls this Snake Alley because all the girls go and they call you like that. And then
the strippers make noises there. I know they do a lot of hi if you get a little grabby, you know, when they're on stage.
Oh no, man,
they'll kick you.
Not in Tijuana, man. Everything goes.
I know.
When's the last time you did a show down there? Come on,
it's been a while. I can tell you there is a science or a method to the alley madness because the thing about the prostitutes in the strip club, all of the dancers are also prostitutes.
Oh.
So,
diversify.
You know, see what you like.
Right.
You know, then, you know, at a certain point the song's going to end.
Sure.
My friend went upstairs with one of them. And when I say my friend, it was my friend. I know his name. I'm not going to say. But he said it was $20 or something. Now, it was $20 for either sex or a blowjob.
Oh.
But the room is $20.
Oh.
They get you with the room.
Whoa.
That's where the alley kicks in.
Oh.
There must be levels like the game of levels when you get up to. There must be $20 to get in.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And then they might try to sell you. I don't know.
Upsell.
Yeah, upsell.
You can't bundle that? Like
hold on, Flo.
he got
taken to the cleaners because he thought it was 20 all in.
Right.
Then the room was 20. Then mid blowjob, he changed his mind. That's how you know a man is a man of passion. So now, you know what? I'm going to go for the sex now. But he already ordered the blowjob.
Another 20.
So he got charged 60.
As much as your friend is clearly the victim in this story, I do wonder about all these women being trafficked and not actually getting to keep any of that money.
I don't know how the breakdown works.
I have suspicions.
I couldn't find out because we got chased out of the club because anyone has been to, look, if you want to go to Tijuana and get your buzz on and get your strip club on, don't get buzzed at the strip club. They charge a premium for drinks.
Sure.
Go buy a bottle, order a Coke, and freshen it up.
You can BYOB?
No. It's frowned on.
Or you can stay across the street at the Presidente Hotel. I heard they invented the Caesar salad there.
I like how your friend was in for $60 for half a blowjob and sex. It feels like he got ripped off.
I know, he got robbed.
Well, you got it. We're going back to 1980s.
Sure, yeah.
That's a deal.
Where do they do the put the margarita in your mouth and then give you really shake you up and down all around?
That's Margarita's Village.
That is, okay.
They have a whistle too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they dress as old-timey prison convicts.
Incarcerated individual.
Oh, sorry. And
like the Hamburglar, like
yeah, and or like the sheriff, or you know,
the cowboy.
Yeah, yeah, it's village the people. It's village people, yeah. And then they do the tequila slammers, I guess, where they slam it. They take.
Well, they throw your head
yes,
back.
Yeah, I was at a Raider tailgate party, just walking around with my wife. And somebody was doing that at the tailgate. God. And my wife, you want a drink? She said, yeah. And they put like a funnel and like three types of shots. And that guy flipped her around two times. Then she was dizzy, man.
They
put a football helmet on her and they flipped her around. And when they were whistling,
yeah, well, it's a lot like that. I mean, this is something that would be so illegal in the United States.
Yeah.
It could never pass any kind of legislation, but they hit you. I don't know, is Margarita's Village still there, Chris? It's a downstairs place. Mm-hmm. You sit at these big tables, you order booze and whatever. The thing that's diabolical about it is they take tequila, they put it in a medium-sized sort of shot glass tumbler thing, they put a little 7-Up in it, they slam it on the table with their hand over it. It starts fizzing immediately. They pull your head back and they dump it down your throat, and then they put their forearm on your face and they shake your head like a paint can shaker.
Awesome.
That sounds horrible.
It's awesome. And here's the other thing.
Live show.
Yeah.
There is no denying it. And
well, I can't wave it off.
You don't have a choice.
It's non-consensual?
Non-consensual. So let's just say I wanted to date rape you.
Sure.
For example.
And you were like, I don't drink.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to use the bathroom. And I would just get up and go find the guy in the prison guard outfit. And I'd see the chick over there in the blank tank top? Yeah. Give her two.
She needs to loosen up.
Give her two.
And they'd go over there and they would do it.
Oh, no, thank you.
No. They don't. They come up behind. Mm. They're thieves in the night. Yes. They come up. Is that the date rape sound or the popper
sound? Yeah, the night's over.
They come up.
I thought you were drowning.
They come up. Hey, I spent $20 in this room, baby. They come up behind you, grab you by the forehead.
That.
There's nothing you can do.
Jesus. People could choke to death.
Yeah.
Oh, it's happened for sure.
Definitely goes down the wrong pipe.
Oh, there's people booting at that table. Yeah. That's Tijuana, baby.
That's fun.
Yeah, man.
That sounds fun.
You could buy tacos there, real good tacos.
Yeah.
I remember a big, long bar with like five bartenders, and it was like dollar tequila sunrush or whatever. But the trick was you had to tip, obviously. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like we do all the street tacos and all that kind of stuff.
Fish tacos, and then those lobsters, and then ensenada for $20.
Ooh. Yeah.
With rice and beans.
Yeah. Ooh,
good stuff.
Is that Rosarita or ensenada?
That's Puerto Peñas. No. That's ensenada.
Is that out? You go out on a pier and do that one?
It's out on a pier, yeah.
Yeah.
They're all over the place. They're all trying to get you in. We got the best lobster.
They just bring over big pile of lobsters. Big pile of fresh tortillas.
Puerto Nuevo.
Yeah, and a big piles of beans and rice and whatever beer you want.
Tortillas.
They just lay it all out on the table.
Sounds amazing.
You walk down the street, buy some fireworks, and pop them in the fucking beach.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's lawless.
Yeah, Disneyland.
You know what's funny when you go to Mexico, though? Like, as a tourist, or just being a Mexican-American going to Mexico, the federal agents there, you know, they look scary, you know, because they're wearing like the Gulf War uniforms that the American gave them, you know, you could tell. And, they check our vehicles on the way in, you know, to Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are you checking for? Progress? You know? You know? But they're checking our vehicle. Like, what are you looking for, man? Everything I want to bring in, I'm getting from you guys.
Yeah. I've never heard of being checked on the way in.
Yeah, they check you in and they look, you know.
Huh.
Yeah, the move, because a lot of people get their car stolen and that kind of stuff, is you just park at the border and then you walk across it and then you get into a cab.
Hell yeah.
And the cabs are all like mobile pimps. The first, you climb in with three dudes and they're like, all right. Taking to whorehouse, right? Mm. Like they're all on the payroll.
But they got limos there where they actually from the whorehouse with a tag right on it, like they say it's Adelitas or Hong Kong.
Wow. Really?
And they'll take you straight to the hotel. You don't even gotta see anybody.
Oh, nice.
You just
fantastic.
Go straight in. They bring you in.
So still little girls selling chiclets.
Yeah. No, you know what? You get those little girls, little kids begging and selling piñatas when you're standing in line on the way to get inside America.
Yeah, yeah.
They're hustling, man, these piggy banks. And sometimes the line to walk in is so long.
Yeah.
Like half a mile long, 4 hour wait. When you're leaving Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where you make the impulse buy because you're drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've had a boner for 7 hours and you're like, that plaster Paris ET with the Prussian helmet, that's going to be worth a lot one day. Definitely getting me one of them. They sell the most useless shit on the planet, but everyone is leaving as shit-faced and is ready to make their last impulse buy.
That's true. The only times I've ever been to Tijuana were to help at an orphanage. Thank you.
Yes.
So leaving, there are a lot of people selling shit, but they seemed okay.
Like yeah. They didn't... yeah.
Like it seemed like everybody was feeling pretty good. Please tell me they were okay.
Yeah, they're okay.
Okay, good.
They didn't look hungry. They didn't.
They look cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I don't even know. Are there any pictures of that, Chris? There's just a long line of people. Mm-hmm. Actually, L.A. is kind of turning into that now.
It's long, that line, man.
To walk, though, I've never seen that.
Oh, Margarita's Village is no longer there. Hell it is now. It's now a bank. No. No fucking idea.
Were they giving tequila?
What is the big Hi-Li playing place on the corner? There's like a Hi-Li stadium.
Oh, that's an
like
old
big gambling
stadium.
Weird.
Yeah, Hi-Li.
Yes.
It's been around forever. They do Hi-Li and they do dog races in Tijuana.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But the Hi-Li's been around since like the 80s when it was big during Miami Vice era.
Yes.
But I've never been to a Hi-Li game. But I didn't even know how to gamble to the game. I didn't even know how to play it.
It's all there for gambling.
But I know it looks dangerous because that ball is really hard.
Ripping it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It has to be like hockey or something.
They have
with like the scooper.
They have a wicker basket scooper and a hard tennis ball, and they whip it. It's they wear a helmet, so there is some danger involved. It's probably the only people wearing helmets in all of Tijuana.
Yeah, they're like jockeys.
Yes.
My brother in Tijuana, though. My brother got deported. Mm-hmm. And he's living in Tijuana.
Oh. Right now?
Yes.
When did he get deported?
Oh, I don't know. Probably during Bill Clinton, probably, or afterwards.
How is Tijuana? Like, you hear a lot about drug cartels. On the other hand, they know where their bread is buttered. Like, they're not going to go do something horrendous right in the middle of Tourist Alley, right? That's going to draw too much attention.
No. I was surprised because when I was doing the comedy shows, my friend... He has Tijuana plates, so he will pick us up in San Diego and drive us in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has an express pass, but only for himself. Mm-hmm. So he will go in, and then we will get in line and walk in. But we didn't see anything. We just saw more where he lives, I saw more Americans than I saw Mexicans, because a lot of the white Americans from San Diego are buying a lot of badass beach condos for $150,000, and now they're worth $300,000.
So there's a couple of stories.
But in downtown, like, it is packed, like New York packed. And there's like so much transportation back and forth, like so much hustle. Like I saw a guy, there's buses, but there's also a van that picks up people too, that goes even further. Like, okay, so you have a bus stop in Montebello. But there's not one in City of Commerce, so that van would go over there. And this van is full of people, and it goes it goes far, man, away from the city. But it is jam-packed, man. There's chiclets everywhere, man. Dildos, piñatas.
Oh, everything.
What I noticed, too, was a lot of Nigerians.
Tijuana?
A shitload.
Like, really?
And patience.
Really?
Like they're changing the game over there. Mexico's going to get gold medals one day. But I guess during, like, when nobody wanted them, mm-hmm. everybody was saying, no, we don't want refugees. Mexico said yes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a lot of Nigerians there, and they speak Spanish now. I saw a restaurant that's kind of like a mixture of Mexican food and their food.
Damn, that'd be good. Yeah, Nigerian food's good.
A bowl of fufu with al pastor.
I don't know what Nigerian food
fufu.
Is.
Fufu is like a paste, like that stuff that Hawaiians eat.
Boy. Yeah, well, listen, the Nigerians are overachievers, man.
They're taking all the jobs in Mexico, in Tijuana, especially that a more normal educated Mexican wouldn't take, you know. So they're taking the jobs that they're not taking. They're starting.
They're Mexicans.
Yes.
Oh, I always ask everyone who their Mexicans are.
Nigerians are our Mexicans, man.
Interesting.
And Indians too.
Your Mexicans?
They're programmers. Wow. What are you talking about?
No, but there's a lot of them that are trying to get in to America through California, so they lay up in Tijuana.
Interesting.
A lot of Chinese and Juarez.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always, whenever I've traveled, I always go, who are your Mexicans? And they go, what? They get all offended. And then I go, no. I go, listen, I live in Los Angeles. I used to work construction. It's 100% Mexican. Whoever's mowing the lawns, working in the kitchens, stacking the cinder blocks, building the walls, it's exclusively Mexican. That's what they do. So we're here in, you know, Spain. Who are your Mexicans? They'll go, oh, Ukrainians. They'll go, like, yeah, they come in and they do all the fucking lawn mowing, the shit we don't want to do.
Right.
So every culture has the group that comes in. And then the plan is, like, boxing. Had a lot of Jews, had a lot of Italians in the 20s Russians. And 30s, and moving. Then they move up into management, and their kids don't have to get in the ring. So at some point, the Nigerians do the work that the Mexicans don't want to do. But at some point, they buy the restaurant mm-hmm. they're working at for 20 years, and then their kids manage it. Right. That's the plan.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Yeah.
What else do you want me to tell you about Tijuana?
He's right, because like the Mexicans, like they were good boxers, like in the 70s, Pepino Cuevas. But then you got the black boxers who came in after them from Latin America, like Mantequilla Napoles. Then you got Azuma Nelson, you know, mm-hmm. like everywhere from Congo.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
You know something about boxing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was
My
confused.
My father's a boxer. He boxed tomatoes, grapes, oranges. All right, people.
Pepino Cuevas was the guy that fucked me up, like I said, because my...
Me too, man, because I thought he was going to be big, but they get his ass beat by the hitman, Hearns.
Yeah, but also I asked my Spanish-speaking nanny, what's Pepino mean? And she said, cucumber, pickle, or cucumber. And I said, cucumber? What the fuck kind of boxing name is that?
Little cucumber.
That's not where he gets Pepino.
Or like when Eric Estrada had that Spanish sitcom, those...
Eric Estrada?
Yeah, Dos Mujeres, Un Pepino.
Oh,
no,
really?
Camino.
He had a Spanish sitcom?
Yes. When he was done here in America, he was not getting a lot of work. He got offered the most money ever for an actor in Mexico mm-hmm. to play the lead actor in a sitcom called Two Women, One Road, you know?
It's like Three's Company.
Yes. Yeah. And he was like a man with two wives, I guess, and he got paid so much. He didn't know. He did not. First Puerto Rican that didn't know how to speak any Spanish, and he had half pieces to
feed him the lines.
The lines in Spanish.
Wow!
And then that I guess that novella was like number one.
Really?
Wow. He didn't even know what he
what
was saying.
What years are we talking about?
Talking here? The early 90s, 80s, late 80s.
Wow.
Early 90s, yeah.
Yeah, people forget that Eric Estrada was a superstar.
Super.
And, you know, long before Mario Lopez, he was a hunk.
Oh, sure.
He was a Latin hunk. I mean, he was a poster.
Yeah, with underwear on.
He had a poster that basically probably didn't move as many units as Farah's, but it was up there. It was ubiquitous.
I'd like to see
Everyone
that.
Had seen this poster of Eric Estrada.
You remember that poster just like you remember Bo Jackson's, you know.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Was he in a Speedo or something?
He was
something?
A Speedo. He was like this.
Hold on.
So you just close your eyes and you're staring up at your ceiling and it's 1979. Yeah, he had a gold chain. He was in a Speedo and he was posterized.
And his hair was perfect, you know, like Scott Bell, you know, perfect.
Ooh. Yeah, feathered.
Selling a lot of brushes.
Mm-hmm. And then he was the biggest thing ever. And then it completely just dropped off.
Well, I remember late night TV, he'd be selling like pieces of land in the Northwest.
Yes, he had a land. He had a deal. There were all these weird commercials called.
Then he showed up on MTV on a Butthole Surfer video.
He did?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh. He was a cop. He just shows up. I don't mind, but. He was in that video. There he is.
Oh, he's in some tight jeans.
Oh, tight jeans. That's right.
Yeah, put him in a Speedo. That makes you gay.
He's a good looking man.
Estrada, $1 million smile.
Oh, boy.
Super hunk. I mean, I used to watch the shit out of Chips. I loved Estrada.
I love Chips.
I love Chips too.
Yeah. Remember, like, there was that one episode where they went back to a neighborhood. And they were like a gangster. They were all cholos, but they all knew karate.
The best. And so you watch every episode of Chips?
Yeah, every episode.
All right. So I did too. And there was a couple things I learned from watching Chips. One is the best episodes weren't the bank heist episodes. It was when they went to him in his swinger's apartment during his days off.
His bachelor pad.
His little RV.
Drove like a Trans Am. No, he had an apartment. Uh-oh.
Eric Estrada had an apartment? I thought he had an RV, like Mel Gibson, Lethal Weapon.
He was down by the beach. He was in the marina. Oh. But I think he had an apartment. And the best, well, we can look it up. Maybe that was Larry Wilcox's apartment. But He drove a Trans Am. He'd show up in like a members only jacket.
Yeah.
It was a thrill to see these guys in civvies.
Tight pants, the bows.
Tight pants and dingo boots. The ladies all turning their heads when he'd go strutting through a restaurant.
Are you may be talking about John, because I'm looking here. It says John Baker lives at Raintree. It's a condominium village.
Yeah, I'm probably
and
in
often
the marina.
Seen arriving or, yeah, going into his apartment. And it's like a hot place to live.
Yeah, they used to have swingers apartments or whatever,
yeah.
Just young single people in the 70s, you know, pre-AIDS, mid-Coke, best time ever.
Eric Estrada's style was mid-70s and 80s, right before it turned ugly, you know, when everybody started wearing cowboy hats, like a Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah,
right.
Tight jeans, members-only jacket, boots, made
boots.
His ass look tight.
Wallabies.
Then later on, where did he live?
You're right. Now we're going specifically to Ponches, the Tides and Waters Edge at Marina Harbor.
Yeah, it was a harbor. It was a beach,
That's his apartment building, and that's where he lives. He moved in after selling his motorhome.
Oh!
Back to the dealer.
We're both right. Yeah, and the best is when they'd go out on a date. Or they'd go out on a Saturday and go like hang gliding, and he'd be wearing dolphin shorts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like they lived the life, these two.
Were they in a cruise ship for some reason?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did they ever get on the Love Boat? As like
not as Ponch and John.
Right.
I'm sure they both, every actor who worked popped up there at some point. And later on, he started doing commercials for like Everly Pines, you know, do you want land? Right. You know, it's only 14 hours away from Los Angeles, California, you know, and they'd say you want acreage and they'd show you pictures of beautiful lakes and you could buy a lot there and build a home or something. It was impressive, all out of my bracket, but I remember those.
I remember I did my first TV show credit was on the Latino Laugh Festival in 1996. And they invited a bunch of Latinos to the show, and some comedians from the who I didn't know was Latino, like John Mendoza from New York. He's like Puerto Rican and Irish.
Stand up.
Yeah, stand up, yeah. And who he was, and they invited Pancho Rallo, and he was there too. Just hanging out as an MC.
Now,
like you
wearing a leather jacket.
He's Puerto Rican,
yeah.
But the guy who then is getting the biggest paycheck ever in the Mexican sitcom, who doesn't speak any Spanish, Do you look down at him for that?
I wasn't a fan of the show, but my mom watched it. Everybody watched it. They didn't care. They didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
This came out afterwards.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's talk about you for a while.
We did a tight half hour on Eric Estrada.
You owe me.
So, yeah, well, I mean, he's still alive. I mean, he ain't that old. He was...
He's on next week.
Yeah,
he's,
that'd be great.
He's 73.
73? Damn.
He's bookable. I don't know if he's still in Los Angeles.
We saw him at the airport not that long ago.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Wait, did we talk to him?
No, we didn't talk to him. We just saw him in one of the rooms.
Mm-hmm. Throwing bags?
A lot of hair still.
A lot of hair.
Brian, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw him one time also at one of those things where they give you a bunch of gifts. And you're supposed to grab a bunch of gifts from everybody. They give you like a big bag.
Like a gifting suite?
Yeah.
Gifting suite.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, man, he said yes to everything.
Good.
Like everything.
Too.
He showed up with an assistant to carry his bags.
He would be the grand marshal of like the Hollywood Christmas parade, I think. And that kind of stuff. He did a lot of grand marshaling. Felipe's got some live dates, by the way. Jacksonville, Florida, the Comedy Zone. That's coming up August 11th through the 13th. Oxnard, California. Levity's Live. That's a great club. That's the 18th through the 21st. And you can go find dates at Felipe'sWorld.com. What Up Fool podcast. Where are you living?
I live in the Valley by Mission Hills and Granada Hills, San Fernando.
Mm-hmm.
Local boy.
Yeah. You liking it? It's hot. Too hot.
Yeah, I like it.
I can't remember. So here, if you live in Malibu or Santa Monica or, you know, by the beach, it's 25 degrees cooler. Like it is just that much cooler. But then I'm thinking about like Baja and Ensenada and Rosarita and that kind of stuff. I don't remember. That's right on the water. And it's the same ocean. And, you know, it was the crow flies. It's just 100 miles away. But I remember it being pretty fucking hot out there. But I can't remember. I slept on the beach, but I was drunk.
I always felt hot, man. Even growing up, like, I don't remember ever having AC in my elementary school. But I remember it was so fucking hot. But where I live now, it gets to 120.
That's brutal.
It's brutal.
I was like, damn, man.
Did you ever have really shitty hot jobs?
Yes, man. I used to work for a place that competes with UPS and Federal Express. It's called RPS. And all I did was be inside of a truck, unloading it. Oh. Well, it was 100 degrees outside, and it's dusty.
Oh.
And I would sniff dust. I had no mask. And I would just remember just sliding boxes all day. And that was the fucking hottest. Also, when I was in rehab, we had to clear out this old lady's 5 acres of grass, and I never wore sunscreen ever. So we're out there with no t-shirt, and we all got burned.
I'd like to know more about that experience.
Why'd you have to clear out the grass when you were in rehab?
Because the lady was she was like one of the ladies from the church. She had nobody to do it, so we did it.
Well, you were clearing brush like for fire season.
Yeah.
Ugh. That's a bad gig.
We were
gig.
There like all day, 8 hours from
you guys ever
sun up to sundown.
That doesn't sound like passages.
Going on in the hills, like so
brush clearing.
Yeah, brush clearing. So not only is it it's like all that stuff's got to be cleared by July 15th. Mm-hmm. So everyone's up there on July 13th mm-hmm. with weed whackers. It's hotter than fucking Hades, and you have to climb the side of a dirt hill to do it, and. There's this thing when it's really hot, when you work jobs. So, like, there are jobs where it's really hot. Like, it could be hot at a public pool, and your job could be lifeguard. But you get to wear swim trunks and sit under an umbrella. Then there's jobs like brush clearing, which you can't do in flip-flops and Estrada Speedo. You have to wear jeans and boots and shit because – and sometimes a mask and a shield and all that shit. So not only is it fucking hot – outside, but you got to layer up. Otherwise, you're going to get cut up or dinged up. You got gloves, a long sleeve shirt. You got the weed whacker.
Deer ticks.
Kicking the exhaust out of there. And so it may be, you know, there's like, they do that heat index thing. They go, with humidity, right, it feels like, how about with a full long sleeve denim shirt, jeans, boots, oh, gloves, a fucking helmet?
Heat, all heat is not created equal.
Yes. Yes. And then you get the dust factor.
And if you're goth, you're sweating even more.
Oh, oh yeah.
Oh. I had to demo out a handball court wall in like the deep valley in the middle of the summer when I was working construction. Remember when people would play, what was it, handball?
Racquetball.
Yeah.
They wanted to tear down the wall in between the two courts. They were cement block, cinder block all the way up with clad and really thick particle board. We had to jack that whole thing out of there. The worst is when they go, we can't have any dust getting into the rest of the club or into the warehouse or into the warehouse, so we got to tent it off. Mm-hmm. They fucking tent it off, yeah, and then you go inside
you're
of
trapped.
It. And then you fire up a jackhammer, which is fired. It's fired up by a compressor, and it shoots air. It goes, and then it belches air. Fucking cement dust everywhere.
Weren't you up at the ceiling or something?
We're on a scaffolding on the ceiling because you had to start at the top of the wall. I was laying down on scaffolding trying to work a jackhammer. It's the only job where after about 5 days, I was like, I'm leaving.
Yeah, man. I'd rather be the guy that rents out the scaffolds.
Oh, yeah. It's a much better job. Yeah, I should have told him. All right. You want to hang out and do some news with us, Felipe?
I'm down.
All right. First, let me hit freshly here. Summer's here. Spend more time outside and less time in the kitchen where it's hot, everyone. Freshly's a new lineup. Well, it's effortless. They have in-season meals, gives you more time to enjoy your summer. Don't resort to takeout and save time on meal prep with Freshly. You're not stuck with the fast food or the frozen dinners when you want a quick meal. Designed by nutritionists, prepared by chefs, delivered right to your door. It's a great menu, especially if you want to eat healthy. You can just go online, pick your favorite offering, skip the groceries and the shopping and the dirty dishes. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week. New meals are added weekly. Check it out at Freshly, right, Dawson?
Make summer dinners stress-free with Freshly. Right now, you can get $125 off your first five orders at Freshly.com/ACS. That's $125 off at Freshly.com/ACS.
We would get our hair cut in Tijuana.
Why?
Soaking in the culture, saving $4.
Sure. How was the haircut?
Don't remember.
Straight around. Yeah. On
just to pay for.
Seemed fine.
Free and worth every penny.
Yeah.
Had a lap dance and a shoe shine at the same time.
What?
Wow.
Wow.
I had to get two lap dances because I had another shoe to get clean. You know, when they do it real good too. They add a little voice to it, so it sounds like he's doing going fast. He goes.
You guys ever get a shoe shine at like an airport or something like that?
I always thought, you know, it might sound sexist, but I always thought a good ass shoe shine job would be if you get women with cleavage,
mm-hmm,
and then when they're down there.
Oh, like, yeah.
I miss my calling.
They can make money, man. Oh, shoe
yeah.
Shine lady.
Yeah. As soon as they're done, you mess them up again. All right. All right, we'll take a quick break, come back with Felipe and the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff face on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gina. Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Speaking of Kamala, I actually wasn't going to get into this because there's so much history to it. It's so complicated. But we did just have an example of something that I really didn't think happened, an actual tiebreaker with the 50-50 with this. It was the Build Back Better Act, and they changed it to the Inflation Reduction Act, I think. But it was 50-50, and she said, I'm the tiebreaker. So that was kind of interesting. We can get into that another time. But federal agents have carried out an unannounced search warrant on former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. That happened on Monday, according to a statement released by Trump. Sources indicated the raid was related to allegations that he improperly took a couple of classified documents with him from the White House to his Florida residence. So according to the reports, officials from the National Archives and Records Administration notified Congress in February they had retrieved 15 boxes of documents from Trump's Florida residence, among which were some classified materials, and believe there's probably more remaining out there. Trump called the search politically motivated, even though he appointed the FBI director, Chris Wray, he's been in charge of this.
Yeah, we'll see how this works out. See, here's the problem. The problem is everyone on the left is going, well, this is what happens. You try to steal documents, and this is a perfectly legitimate raid. And then everyone on the right's going, yep, the FBI hates Trump because 15 minutes ago, and this is the problem. It's what happened with Fauci. It's what sort of happened with the CDC. It's what happened with COVID, which is if the same people, and I'm not saying it's legitimate or illegitimate because I don't know, but here's the problem. The problem is 10 minutes ago when these guys were all over the news saying Hunter Biden's laptop is a fake and I'll put my reputation on it and 51 experts from the FBI and that apparatus all sign a document saying that is fake and it smells of Russian collusion. Now I see that same person on Rachel Maddow's show going, this is totally legitimate. These guys said everything. I'm going to go, I don't know if I believe you anymore because I caught you saying a few other things a few other times. It seems like you were talking about Russian collusion for 3 years. You were the same guy who was banging that drum. So now everyone on the right is going, I don't believe these guys because they put a hit on Trump years ago and they've always had it out for him.
But this seems doesn't more mean provable. They either will provable. Or won't.
It'll be provable, but documents. Everyone has one eyebrow raised now because of their history.
But the guy leading the charge is Trump's appointed director. If he's got to go get the papers.
Oh, many people Trump has appointed has definitely gone south.
They want
on
those
Trump.
Papers,
that's
man.
True. Yeah.
I know of a story of a comedian, a well-known comedian. He was there while George W. Bush was speaking. He was there like a correspondent dinner hanging out, and George W. was drawing like the way you're drawing circles on your paper, doodling your paper probably, and everybody was left. He thought he was slick. He would have grabbed that paper. Thought he could have a memorabilia. Man, he didn't make it out the building. He was attacked.
Wow.
Really?
They said, give us that paper.
Wow.
Give us that paper.
That's amazing.
And the fact that they knew where to find that paper, like they went straight to that. They said they went to a safe. Man, somebody's talking.
Yeah.
What could it be? What's in that safe?
I got to find out.
We're going to find out.
Rachel will be all over it. She'll let us know.
I'm poised. I was poised for a long time. So here's what Trump is saying, and here's what kind of's happening is the FBI, they have multiple cases they could be working on.
Right.
The Hunter Biden laptop thing, which has big implications, they've been kind of slow rolling that one. They're not that interested in that. They're intensely interested in Trump and Mar-a-Lago and January 6th and all that kind of stuff. So people are sort of going, well, wait a minute. How independent are you if you seem very vigorous about certain things and not so vigorous about other things? So it's dubious, but then we'll see because we don't know.
Yeah.
It's like if you say – it doesn't mean they're not right, and it doesn't mean he's not wrong. It just means – it's like if the CDC told me to do something now, they could be 100% right, but I'd still have one eyebrow raised going, really? Because you guys said a lot of stuff in the past. So that's where I'm at.
I have a question. If military cops are overwhelmingly conservative, which they are, that's not debatable, why would the FBI not be? They're federal cops.
They always say that the rank and file guys are, but the leaders aren't. The guys who are shot calling aren't. The guys on the ground are probably more conservative and more Republican, but the folks calling the shots are not.
I buy it.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Alex Jones. So I can explain a little bit more if there's any clarification needed, because I just listened to a news story about it. But he must pay over $45 million in punitive damages for claiming the 2012 Sandy Hook massacre was a hoax. The payout would be would add to his $4 million in compensatory damages announced Thursday. And that's literally for the wife and husband's lawyer fees and things like that. That's the compensatory.
I don't know how unprecedented this is, but it might be.
Well, this is the first of three. So this couple, who are the parents of Jesse Lewis, who was a six-year-old that was shot that day, the lawyers asked for $150 million, and they have $45 million. So Jones' lawyers plan to appeal the decision after incriminating cell phone data, as we talked about earlier, not meant for the case, was presented to the jury. That's when, as Alex Jones called it, he had his Perry Mason moment.
Oh,
when all of these,
yeah.
Do these texts look familiar? Because your attorney sent them to me by accident, and nobody said anything about this being privileged information. So you've been lying to me this whole time, blah, 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 blah.
Gargos was apoplectic about this
whole
thing.
Did he have thoughts?
He had a million thoughts.
Like what?
Also,
trying to remember. One of the things is at some point the attorney was saying, do you know the definition of perjury?
Good, Alex.
He said, Garrett's like, you don't, that's objection. You can't say
it's
that.
It's the truth as I know it.
He was saying Alex Jones's attorney should have stood up right then. And it's like, you can't do that.
I'm getting the sense they're not good attorneys.
Yes. I think that may be it.
They did a little whoopsie with the text. So, as far as I understand, and then, you know, he keeps yelling, bankruptcy, bankruptcy, I don't have any money left to give, and now they're funneling, allegedly, there's funneling assets into shell companies and trying to limit what's available to pay out.
Now, these fake companies are companies that actually sell shells.
They sell shells.
In pasta form? Or?
No, like seashells.
Oh, decorative shells. Ashtrays, things
absolutely.
Of that nature.
Molds.
A lot of decoupage.
Picture frames,
yes.
If you live by the beach.
Yeah, exactly.
That's big business.
That's right.
She's redders.
Yes. I bought a few of those when I was leaving Tijuana.
That's
it was pretty
right.
Late, though. I can't remember.
So it is sort of unprecedented because this is setting the precedent for the next two couples, the next two mother and fathers that are in line behind these two to say, now where's our damages for what you've done?
It also is going to kind of open the door to any podcaster, radio show host, or whoever who talks shit.
Alex Jones's lawyer are really good. They're top of the class.
What I'm saying is what if I talked so much shit about DJ Khaled and then he killed himself one day and then they started playing the tapes?
The Khaled family comes after you?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Anything's possible.
You better hope Villaraigosa goes on for years.
Yes. I got deep pocket, just one of them. But they're coming after me.
Well, and then this is, it's good, bad, believe in Alex, don't believe in Alex. Let's just talk tacky. When the mom got on the stand to talk about, what this has done to their lives, having this man, sort of release the hounds on these people who are trying to grieve their son, saying, you're a crisis actor. This didn't happen. You're just trying to take our guns away. Fuck you. I'm going to kill you. This whole thing. And they wanted their moment to be able to speak directly to him.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he was back at his studio streaming the feed for his audience, like making fun of them and calling them performers and, her performance. I don't know. If I'm believing it.
Is he allowed to do that?
Eh?
Like, to not be that?
It was streamed. It was streamed. So good for her because she was supposed to be wrapped. Then they're taking a lunch break. Then Alex comes in for his whatever you call it, deposition or, he's on the stand, whatever.
Does.
Yeah. But the mom stayed and said, I'm not done, and finally got to address him.
Now, how does he.
Trying to wipe me out, Adam.
They are. You want to do Mexican Alex Jones? Alexi Jones?
Alejandro
Jones. Alejandro Jones.
No me entiende la gente. No dice nada.
So what do you think, Alejandro Jones? Did we ever really land on the moon?
No, ¿qué pasó?
No, we didn't.
Lo pasó en Warner Brothers.
Oh, we filmed it on a soundstage. So that was all cooked.
Edward James almost directed it.
Who? Ivan Reitman?
Ivan Reitman.
Okay. So, all right. Now, the Loch Ness Monster. Is that real?
Sí.
Okay. And then what?
Echo Park.
Echo Park.
Oh, and then what? Echo Park Lake?
What? Oh, Echo Park Lake is where
the real Loch Ness Monster.
The Loch Ness Monster is. Alejandro Jones?
Se come cholo todas las noches.
Yeah, oh, okay, I didn't get that last part, but...
He feeds off cholos every night.
Oh, okay, he eats off cholos or at the park. What about Sasquatch, Bigfoot?
We live in Berkeley.
Oh, he lives in Berkeley?
He's in Berkeley? He's up north? Bigfoot, what's his Spanish name? Is it Grande...
El Hombre Negro.
What is it?
El Hombre Largo.
Yeah. Oh, that's Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Limpy Largo.
I'm guessing Sasquatch is just Sasquatch. You don't put your own flavor on that one, do you?
Sasquatcho.
How do you translate the abominable snowman?
Yeah, the abominable snowman.
Oh, okay.
I would have to know how to say abominable in Spanish.
Hey, Mexican Alex Jones? I don't know, what is it, Korean airline flights that got lost at sea? Remember that? They still never
lost
found
communication.
Never found
it again.
It got lost with my passport.
So they're going to find it at some point? You're going to call from the airport?
It was up there with Hillary's tapes.
Oh, Hillary's tapes.
Hillary's tapes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Holding it all in.
That's why they got rid of the plane.
It's obvious.
All right.
That's very good. Well, we haven't talked about this, and it's really sad and a little confusing. Anne Heche is still in a coma.
What?
As we read this, following her fiery car crash on Friday. It was kind of a double car crash.
It was in Mar Vista, down the street from me.
Down the street from Eric Estrada.
It was... I mean, I saw the whole thing on TMZ.
Well, and I mean, we're going to put up a few pictures as I talk about it. But Heche was still in critical condition on Sunday. You can go ahead and put up the pictures. Following two wild car accidents. One, she crashed into the garage of an apartment complex in West L.A. That's according to TMZ. Residents tried to help her out of the car, but she put it in reverse and sped off. Soon after, she slammed into a house, igniting a fire that engulfed the home, according to TMZ. And you can show the other picture of the car. That's her car, her Mini Cooper. It was blue before this. I mean, it looks completely charred. Yeah.
I was trying to think of, you know, in movies, the cars catch on fire all the time. But in real life, they don't do it so much anymore.
They don't explode.
No. They've worked out. The fuel tank is in the back. Yeah. No, they don't have a bladder, even though they should. That was one of my
race cars.
Paul Walker, when I had Gergis in here like 5 years ago, I think he was working on the Paul Walker case where they're in a Porsche GT and his friend took it out and went for a hot lap in a parking lot, lost control, hit a tree. It's a rear mid-engine car, so the engine's behind where you sit.
Cut.
It's either they don't put the engine and the fuel in the same place.
Makes sense.
It's a lot of it's just about weight. If you're going to have this much weight in the front, then you put that in the back. And then in my Porsche race car, the engine's in the back, the fuel tank's in the front. That one has a fuel cell with the bladder.
Right. But not a Mini Cooper.
Not a Mini Cooper and not in a Porsche GT, which is a $1 million supercar. And so when they hit the tree, Paul Walker and his buddy, the thing blew up like a tin can and they were showered with fuel and it ignited and they burnt alive in the car. I said to Garagos, hey, if you're Porsche, because they're going after Porsche, and you're selling a supercar, it's essentially race car for the street, it should have a fuel cell.
Yeah.
All race cars have fuel cells. It's a safety thing because the car is so big and powerful and blah, blah, blah. So she hits this garage and she backs out. Then she speeds down an alley. Then she hits a house and the car bursts into flames. But the thing that's weird is the fuel is at the bottom in the back of a car. She's got the Mini Cooper like Clubman. It's kind of long.
That's a dirty ass house. It's probably a meth house. And she probably broke into the lab.
She hit something like a gas pipeline or something, because you bang into the side of a house with the front of your car. It's not
nothing's
going to
be set on fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, according to the release, it took 59 firefighters over an hour to extinguish the flame and get her out of the car. So this is a big deal.
Then she got out of the car. She'd been burned and everything.
She's
but
trying
she was
to get out of the
struggling
gurney.
With the paramedics.
Yes. Right.
So they brought her. She was conscious and
at the time, yeah,
and moving around, so she must be in a medically induced coma.
I was thinking about that because we've talked about that in the past. We talked about that with Luke Perry. We talked about that, I believe, with maybe John Singleton.
Something,
but
like
that we didn't we talk about with Dr. Drew that you're better off, you know, all things you know considered, you're better off in a coma that you just slip into as opposed to a medically induced coma.
I can't recall, but yeah, I'm anyway.
Well,
they also, I think, when they're working on burn victims, they might.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, the LAPD had obtained a warrant to test her blood to determine, you know, what the vibe was. Was there an influence of something? It looked like, and you might have seen this on TMZ, there was a little circle around it, but I couldn't tell what was inside of it. I think they were alleging that there was a little, like, mini booze bottle in
like
the glove compartment.
It looked like a little pint of a Kamchatka vodka, or something, vodka, you know, the red cap with the little clear bottle.
She wake up at somebody's house back in the day, all loaded too.
Yes.
She's an incident. Yeah.
She climbed into someone's house, I think.
She's really nice.
Is that Robert Downey Jr.? Yeah, she's been
on
the show.
She's super nice.
She's sweet. I think she has, just definitely has issues and maybe the substance.
Well, the interesting thing, I don't know how impactful this is, but it says if she could be charged with a misdemeanor DUI hit and run. That seems good, right? If you set two, you know, houses on fire and caused all this chaos, a misdemeanor seems like a decent.
Yeah, I don't know. I just. All I remember is I was looking at the front, if you show the front of her charred car, because I was watching it on TMZ, and I was like, oh, man, that little Mini Cooper. And then they showed her speeding down the alley.
And almost hit somebody in the alley.
Yeah, a woman was walking wearing a red shirt, so she was very identifiable. Yeah. She, like, sped right past her. But when they showed the front of the charred car, I was like, oh, Mini Cooper. And then I saw this slit kind of air intake that's on the front hood, and I was like, damn. Oh, she got the supercharged one. Good
cool.
for her.
Yeah,
I'm a car guy. Yeah, I like Anne, but we wish her well.
Yeah.
You know, she's
and no one was hurt at the house, by the way, and there are animals and pets, and so nobody was hurt, from what I understand.
Still so curious. You know, sometimes there's a gas pipe that comes up in the front. I'm just curious where the flames, big flames.
That car looks like something off of a movie set. I mean, it doesn't even look like a car anymore.
Yeah, and it burned inside the house, but it wasn't like the back of the car. Yeah.
My water heater's in the garage. Could be the same. It's in this neighborhood, more or less. So could have built it that way.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. From the irony desk, I don't know how else to explain this. The city of Cleveland is hosting the National Massage Therapist Convention at the end of August. You're ahead of me, Brian.
Watson.
Yeah, that's a few weeks after Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson was given just a 6-game suspension for repeated sexual misconduct involving massage therapists, and they're all coming to town. The NFL is appealing the suspension handed down by the judge and is hoping for a lengthier punishment. Remember I said that earlier? I was like, they want more than the judge wants.
I think it's all about optics now.
Yeah.
They've gotten burned a bunch of times for kind of looking the other way, especially things that involve their players and women, and now they're going to double down on it.
Well,
Felipe, you know, they say black and brown community. I think when they say brown, they mean Hispanic.
Latina,
or Indians.
This team is called the Browns. Is that offensive to you?
The Cleveland Browns?
Yeah.
It's offensive
the black and
to,
brown community.
It's know? Offensive to Pittsburgh Steelers fans.
not to you and your ilk?
Yeah, because I never know much about the Browns. Their mascot was a dog, right?
The dog pound, yeah. It's kind of like
dog
their
pound,
de facto.
A brown? Like a mutt or what?
It was a bulldog.
Well, Brown was the name of the owner of the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a second. They have the dog pound?
Yeah, they have dog
pound. Is that
pound.
Why Arsenio had the dog pound? Because he's from Cleveland.
That's right. He's from Cleveland.
I just thought about that.
I never put it together.
Where have you people been? I didn't even know it was called the dog pound.
I don't know. Okay. I know Drew Carey's sitcom started with a song called Cleveland Rocks.
No.
That was a 70s show.
Yeah.
Oh. That's that 70s show?
Or that they had another spin on a Cleveland song. Yeah, they're hanging out.
Yeah, we're all right.
Oh, that's not the Drew Carey show?
Oh, how does that? Maybe we don't know.
Maybe I mixed up the two very similar.
Because they both take place. In,
the one I was singing was done by Cheap Trick.
Really?
I'm not.
This show has gone off the rails.
All right, we need the opening to the Drew Carey sitcom.
I think you're right.
I think you are right, actually.
Yeah, Drew Carey's show is a spinoff of another show.
It was?
Yeah, of.
Wait a minute.
I can't think of the comedian's name.
That's while well, you think of that. This 70s show was Wisconsin.
Oh.
Wisconsin. We love it, Wisconsin, they say.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's right. God damn it. Ruining
How'd
everything.
How'd you guys get on the same wrong page so fast?
Sorry.
Oh, here he is.
Nah, you're right. They needed volume for a song.
There's something with the volume.
Yeah. John Carbonara had a show, and then his show got canceled, and then it's been to Drew Carey's show.
You are absolutely right.
Very 90s.
Yes. It's a good opening. It's like a musical.
Yeah. I didn't know they dance. I guess that... I think you know when the show's going to end. You
think Estrada could handle this opening?
Oh, boy.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, man.
You do?
With his thong, with a leather jacket.
He screams
and
Ohio
t-shirt.
At the end.
And the 70s show had a similar ending where it's like, hello, Wisconsin
yeah,
or something.
We love you, Wisconsin, yeah, something like that. So the massage therapists are coming. Now, the organization, the massage therapist organization, is not happy with the Browns.
Happy ending?
No, not happy with the quarterback's behavior or the length of suspension. This is what they say. AMTA. American Massage Therapist Association, I'm guessing, strongly believes that any client who steps over the line to inappropriate touch should face legal consequences. And it's so disappointing to see such a relatively light punishment from the NFL levied toward Deshaun Watson in their findings of his violation of the league's personal conduct policy. But like we just said, it's not the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. This,
come on.
Now, what do you think? That's a good convention, like, if you're just in the hotel as well.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll tell you that.
Need a volunteer.
Have you guys traveled around and been in a hotel when something was going on? I keep running into the marathoners. They're the worst.
Oh, God.
They're the
up
fucking
early.
Worst. First off,
at the hotel?
Yeah. If you got to spot them when you're buzzed, you know, coming down, catching the flight or whatever, and they're all stretching
you're
out
going
there.
To bed. They're going to run.
Yes.
Yeah.
There
was two of them in my hotel. One was the Shakespeare convention.
Oh, I would have loved that.
And it was all Shakespeare. I mean, every genre of Shakespeare. They even had a side one for the other people. Gay spear.
Mm-hmm. Renfair
dorks.
To
suck or not to suck. That is a dilemma.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a gay spear. And there was a lesbian spear. But it was all Shakespeare. Then I was at one in the, when I was doing a show in Colorado for 4 days. Nothing but they were having the scrapbook convention.
What?
Nothing but older ladies.
Yeah,
you know, older ladies and a couple of ex-cons who are still hanging out to grandma.
Right.
You know, and they pick up on ladies, but it was all
patchwork denim, long gray hair.
People named Blanche and Gertrude.
Yeah.
Another one I was on was even more, was an interesting one. It was like a farming convention where. They're selling seeds and animal products. And it was a bunch of fucking farmers, man.
Bunch of fucking farmers.
That makes
farmers.
Sense. That checks out.
I saw the seeds. I ran into a bunch of Amish people that use electricity.
Wow.
They call it Mennonites.
Yeah, Mennonites.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Yeah. Wow.
I like the facial hair on the Mennonites.
Man.
Kind of LeBron James-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Man. People say, man, like, what kind of woman you want, man? I want a woman like a Mennonite. Have that woman on check. Man, these Mennonites, man, they have those ladies on check, man. Like
how?
Like this guy sitting down with his, you know, man spreading with his long beard, and his wife goes over there and fills up two bottle waters with fucking free water.
Yeah,
oh, sure.
And then she goes gets ice and makes him a big cup.
Yeah.
And he's talking to me. He just hands it over to him like that. He just grabs it, starts drinking
Don't
it.
Don't even acknowledge
Don't even say thanks.
Wow.
She know her place.
I was.
Wait a Mennonite.
I was my daughter's Mennonite bitch over the weekend. So you guys tell me in what universe that your parents would have ever done this for you, right? So she's playing volleyball for 14 hours in Irvine, and I told you guys that we're inside this giant venue with no air conditioning. Mm-hmm. It's 102 degrees outside. And all it is, it's like it would have been hotter and fucking the hubs of hell in there if you just sat alone in this empty place with no air conditioning. This is 2,000 16-year-old girls playing volleyball and 2,000 parents screaming as loud as they can, just banging the ball in the air and running around. It was like you ever walk by, like there's like a jujitsu dojo in my neighborhood, and if you go by there in the evening, it's fogged up. Too many guys sweating too hard and breathing too hard and too small an area, right? Well, this is that times 1,000, and at some point, my daughter gives me the look from the court because the kids were all sweating their asses off because it was so balmy in there and it was so hot. And never seen 16-year-old girls sweat like this, but it's all pouring down their face and everything. And at some point, my daughter spots me on the mini bleachers, gives me the point, points at the water bottle, and then dispatches me.
Oh, wow.
All finger work, you know what I mean?
Like Navy
the Mennonite
Seals.
Bitch I am. So I was like, oh, okay. So now you tell me. I had the water bottle in my hand, and I was like, oh, the line to wait to get the water can be a little long in the cafeteria. And I stand up, and one of the moms goes, they got the refill. They got the bottle refill thing. It's over there. Smart. Use that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's free.
Yeah.
I was going to save a bottle. I'll just fill it up. Then I flashback. 3 days earlier, in the kitchen, I buy, I don't know what it is, whatever springs. I buy the best goddamn bottled water available for my family and for me at my house. And you know how it's good? Comes in a fucking glass bottle.
Yeah.
The giant bottle is glass.
Alkaline.
I got the best, most expensive glass bottle shit you can buy.
No carcinogens.
Bought it. I ran an old friend of mine who was from the Acme Theater. He's now like an ambassador for the company. Started talking to him. This is a few years ago. I said, we make the best bottle. It's super expensive, but it's the best. So I go get it, and that's the only bottle of water we have at the house. Walk in the other day, this is 3 days earlier to being made the Mennonite bitch. Her and her friend are sitting there drinking water out of a plastic bottle. They still get the cases of the plastic bottle. I hate it. It's ugly American shit. It's all ending up in the ocean. Plus, you have the best water ever, the
literally
most expensive in a glass bottle. And everyone's talking about all these plastics. Not good, not good. But the plastic, you have this, save the landfill. Save some money, blah, blah, blah. My daughter goes, I don't like that water. I go, it's the best. It's the best. It's in a glass bottle. It's the best. I don't like the way it tastes.
Blind taste test.
Yeah.
I said, you don't like the way it tastes. No. You like the bottled stuff from Ralph's better. Yeah. First off, this water just tastes... It's like the definition of water. It just tastes like liquid nothing, but it is great, and it's in a glass bottle.
From
a stream.
The Pope blessed it.
Indian went and retrieved it. And so I said, oh, okay, all right. So I go get two of the same tumblers. I said, turn around, put the bottled water in there, then go get the glass stuff that I pay for, mix it up, plant it down on the table. I go, are you telling me
perfect
which one is that bottle and which one is that bottle? She's like, okay. Takes a sip off one. Doesn't even go to the other. Goes, this one's a plastic bottle. Oh. I like this one. And she takes the other one. Yeah, that's from that one. I go, okay, you could have got lucky.
Yeah.
You could have got lucky.
50% chance. 50
chance. Yeah. Turn around again. Fucking nailed it the second time.
Oh, man.
The taste between the different, they both just taste like pure water.
Yeah.
Boom. No lemon zest. No nothing. Boom. So now I'm walking to the bottle refill going, oh, shit. I'm going to get busted. She's going to know the shit came from the wall.
She's got you on your heels.
Well, yeah, so,
well water, wall water. So very big difference.
I go out to the lobby, go to the vending machine that's got the cold Dasani in there and start feeding the crumpled up singles into it.
Really?
If
she
I
won't be in a position to complain about it.
If I hadn't been busted 3 days earlier, she's like one of those dogs at the airport except for water.
Yeah.
No human could do this. But
you're
she
Brittany
could do
Griner
it.
With the hashish.
Yeah. That's Mennonite bitch material right there, right?
Yeah, trained.
She didn't even talk to me. She just pointed at me, pointed at the bottle, did that.
You know what?
You were on your horse.
That means you're a good dad. Because she wasn't like she didn't end up in the hospital. Well, I was afraid to ask him for water. Nope. Mm. Dad'll hydrate. Get it done, Dad.
Yeah. Wall water.
That's good.
Wall
Better
water.
Than well water.
That's right.
Obviously.
That's right. And it's free.
In Irvine. No.
Of course. Yeah. So Mennonite dad bitch. All right. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Come on. Let's fuck our friend's husband.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, there's the Jordan Harbinger Show, a different kind of sponsor for this episode. The Jordan Harbinger Show is, if you're a fan of fascinating podcasts with interesting guests, you're definitely going to want to check out Jordan's show. Jordan's an interesting guy. I've had him on a few times, and he speaks a bunch of languages, travel. I think he's been kidnapped a few times. Yeah, not funny at the time, but, you know, with the passage of time, we can laugh. New episodes, we'll have guys like Jordan talking to Scott Adams on the art of persuasion in a world where facts don't matter, or you can go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful to apply to your own life, like little routine changes to boost productivity, slight mindset tweaks to change how you see the world. It is the Jordan Harbinger Show. It's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. And you can, Spotify podcast, wherever you listen to finer podcasts. All right. Let's see. I'm going to be in Salt Lake City at Wise Guys coming up August 26th and 27th. Felipe Sparza is doing some clubs as well. Jacksonville, Florida, Comedy Zone.
Yeah.
August 11th, that's coming up through the 13th, Oxnard, California, Levity Live, that's August 18th through the 21st, and go to felipesworld.com to find out all the live dates and the podcast and everything. Always good to see you again, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Adam Carolla. What's up, fool? Can I mention my friend's show?
Please.
It's on Hulu. It's going to come out on, August 12th. Chris Estrada had a show. This fool with Frankie Quinones and Michelle Ortiz.
I'm seeing odds for that. That's a big deal.
And Fabian Alomar. You know, they're all. They hired nothing but real cholos for this show.
Oh, yeah.
And 7th and Union, which is streaming now on Amazon Prime. Rob Schneider in tomorrow. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for
Gina
Graham.
I'm going to move with him, too.
Oh, and Felipe Sparza and Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo. When you're done blowing me, I need you to go down to the Ralphs and steal me some vodka.
Get your copy of Everything Reminds Me of Something, Adam Carolla's 6th book. It's available wherever finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see Adam Carolla now at adamcarolla.com.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All month long, the biggest movies are streaming free on Pluto TV's Popcorn Summer Movies. Watch star-studded blockbusters like Titanic and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Or fall in love with charming rom-coms like Hitch and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The best part? Pluto TV is 100% free. No credit cards, not even a sign-up. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.